Good morning, everybody, and this is Joe Stump, and welcome to How to Convert Leads to Appointments. And this is The Art of Asking. We do this as a monthly training, and there'll be quite a bit of supporting material that will be posted up at My Buy Referral Only for you after this call. So if you're near a website, if you're near a computer, if you can pull up mybuyreferralonly.com, I've put on the front post a series of questions that we'll be working with called From Good to Great Questions. And then as the call winds down, I'm going to post another blog there for you where it will show you some of the technology of using Facebook and embedded emails in your Gmail account or wherever you send email from, and then also how to use Twitter, these three technologies when we're combining to convert leads to appointments. And then I'll be speaking about some of the magic words that we use from the red deck, remove resistance. I'll be referring to the 10 of clubs, the king of diamonds, and the jack of clubs. So those are some of the tools. You'll be able to listen to this call again. It will be posted over at Joe on the Go. So you can go into that library and access all of the training calls that we do that are all posted there, so you can load them up onto MP3. I just want to welcome anyone who is new to the call, and I know that there's a few people who are listening in right now that may have been members with My Referral Only in the past and for some reason chose to take a little bit of a break. I would love you to go over to a website called 3extratransactions.com. 3extratransactions.com, and just take a look at some of the things that we're training over there. That's the number 3extratransactions.com. So today, if there was a miracle, and when you woke up tomorrow and everything you knew and all of your abilities to convert leads to appointments were exactly as you'd like it, how would you know that the miracle occurred? All right, so today's Wednesday. It's January 14th. It's 10:30. You're here. And if I was sitting right next to you right now, I would help you get distraction-free. You know, we're going to be on the call for about 45 minutes. I would probably, if I was sitting next to you, I'd say, hang on a minute, I'm going to go close the door. And then I would close all your emails off so you don't have any of that email distraction. I'd be in front of my computer, so I've got the My Buy Referral Only website in front of me. But then I would have my pen and my journal right there. And I would just be completely focused right now to, you know, pick up some dialogues, pick up some technology, pick up a mindset that can give me some fearsome focus on how to convert leads to appointments. And what does that focus feel like? Does it feel engaged? Deep concentration, because you know what really works and what really makes a difference when it's time to learn something new is get rid of those things that distract you. One of the biggest impediments to learning something new is your telephone when it's going off, or you're not paying attention to what you've got going on right in front of you, your email, or if you're cruising around websites while we're on this call, or if you got people bouncing in and out of your office. And those things will really distract you. Thomas Leonard once told me, he said that it's not always the interruption that kills our focus. It's the lack of immediate return to the action that destroys the outcome. So I'm just going to ask you to get some fearsome focus for this teleclass. Do whatever you need to do right now around you so you can have a distraction-free environment and you can give yourself 100% of your attention to this call. Good. All right. So three things we want to work on. Number one, we want to talk about what is the mindset that is going to most support you in converting leads to appointments. And then number two, we want to talk about what are the magic words plus the technology that you could use using the internet and some of the functions that we'll talk about today. And then number three is, what are some of the follow-up systems that you have available within Buy Referral Only to help you convert some of your leads to appointments? So those are three pieces that we're going to work on today. So let's just talk about the mindset. If you're right on the top of your page, mindset. And a couple of thoughts I have for you is, first of all, the value that you have to give to a person must be great enough for them to pay the price you want them to pay. And see, the price you want people to pay is four things. You want them to pay attention. You want them to pay their time. You want them to pay their energy. And you want them to pay for the consequences and the responsibility that goes along with what you're asking them to do. So if you are asking a potential prospect to come into your office, there's an exchange of value. What they're giving you is their attention. What they're giving you is their time. What they're giving you is their energy. What they're giving you is all of their responsibility for that period of time. And I'm going to suggest that when you're asking people to come in for an appointment, that your value that you have to give in return for what you're asking them to give you has to be greater. And some people put an enormous amount of value on their attention. If you want my attention, you have to give me a lot of value. If you want my time, you got to even give me more value. If you want me to give you my energy, distraction-free energy, you got to even give me more value. If you want me to have the responsibility and the consequences of what happens when I do come in to see you, you've got to give me a lot of value. So when people are saying to you, you know, would you just send me the information? I'm just looking right now. I don't really have time to meet with you. What they're saying is the value that you have so far offered to me, is not equal to what you want back from me. You want my attention, my time, my energy, and my responsibility. And what you've offered me, an appointment at 4:30 at your office, there's not a fair enough exchange. So the value you have to give must be great enough for them to pay the price. And their price that they pay is attention, time, energy, and consequences. So you got that? See, I have an appointment on later on in the week here with a urologist. And when I was thinking about this appointment that I have set with this particular doctor for just a regular old checkup here, I thought, okay, he's going to have to get my attention, which I have to really have an intention around this. You know, I'm going to have to put my energy, my thinking into this appointment. I have to dedicate this 90 minutes out of my time, which I have to give something up. Something has to give in order for him to get it. And then I have to give my energy. So I have to really consider what's going on that I'm considering this urology appointment. And then I have to be responsible for whatever the consequences are from this meeting. Now, if I don't believe that there's enough value at this meeting, if I don't believe that it's really worth it, you know, I won't give those four things up. And so the second thing I want you to look at is the value. What is the value that they receive for free? There's a thought in our community called the free line. How much do you give for free? Well, what I know is there's five things that you give for free, and if you really give these things for free, people will give attention, time, energy, and consequences. And I've experienced this in my own business, that I can give to you, I can give to real estate agents these five things, and do it in a very powerful and succinct way, and in return, they'll give me attention, time, energy, and consequences. And here are the five things. Number one, information that they want specifically, number one. Number two is interpretation of the information. Number three is investigation. Number four is recommendation. And number five is inspiration. And it seems to be that seems to be the hierarchy. You cannot inspire me until you give me enough information. You can't give me a recommendation until I have interpreted the information, which really comes all from an investigation. So when you're in conversation with a person, what you're asking yourself is, have I given them enough information? And if they're stalling, hesitating, delaying, have I interpreted the information in a way that is meaningful to them? Have I done enough investigation? Have I asked them the critical questions? Have I really asked them some really good questions, even great questions, in order for me to really investigate what their situation is? And then based on my investigation, have I given them the right recommendation, and have I done it in a way that inspires them? And so if you look at, that's what I will exchange my time for. I will give you my time if I know that you have information, you're capable of interpreting that information, and you're going to ask me the questions or, you know, give me the insight and the awareness that is going to make it feel like you've done your investigation. And then you're going to give me a crystal clear recommendation, and I'm going to be inspired by this experience. So if you can take that mindset on, that when you're setting up appointments, what you're really dealing with is, I'll give you my attention, my time, my energy, and I'll be responsible for the consequences if I know that what you're going to give me has a lot of value. And value comes in the form of information, the interpretation of the information, great questions that I really feel like you're investigating what's important to me. You're giving me crystal clear recommendation, and I'm inspired by the process. Now, that's a fair exchange. So that's a mindset that we go into this whole process of converting leads to appointments. Now, remember, be more interested than interesting. So when you're in sending out emails or when you're sending out anything that has to do with what they're going through, be more interested than interesting. And let that settle for a minute. See, if you're going to tell me the five reasons I should pay attention, give you my time, give you my energy, give you the consequences and the responsibility, what are they? So if somebody said, okay, well, hey, Joe, give me five good reasons why I should give you my energy, my time, my attention, be responsible for all this. What are the five reasons? And that's a really good question to ask yourself when you're talking to a prospect. What are the big five reasons they should give me their time, their attention, their energy, and their responsibility? And it's interesting, when I was thinking about this, that they need to know something that they don't know, and they know they don't know it. See, when I'm thinking about this urologist, he knows something that I don't know, and I know that he knows something that I don't know. Number two, must know that they are going to be willing to give it to me or to show me. You know, so I know that I'm sitting here, I go, I know they're going to discover something and they're going to be willing to show it to me and give it to me. I know that I'm going to get that outcome. I have to feel safe, number three. I have to feel safe. So the urologist that I'm going to go see has been referred to me, and I'm interested in feeling safe and secure that I know that this person's going to take care of me. It's got to be convenient. I live in Cardiff. This guy's in El Camino. I'm not going to go from Cardiff up to Orange County to see a urologist for this initial consultation. It's got to be convenient. It's got to work into my schedule. And then it has to focus on me. You know, and so what else? I mean, a urologist, it's all about me. It's all about one part of me. So with that in mind, what I want you to do is consider that time you're in the process of converting leads to appointments, you're approaching it with this value-based mindset that, one more time, that they have to really say to me, I'm going to give my attention and my time and my energy and my responsibility, and I know in return I'm going to get information, I'm going to get interpretation, they're going to help me investigate what's important to me. They're going to make recommendations, and I will be inspired. I also know they know something that I don't know, and I know they're going to show it to me. And I'm going to be safe, it's going to be convenient, and it's going to be all about me. And so if you can embrace that as what I call the see-through mindset, seeing it through the prospect's eyes, seeing it through the potential client's eyes. Confucius has a saying, says, attaching too much importance to external concerns distracts you from internal ones. he tells this story. He says, consider an archer. If he is shooting for a prize for a mere certificate, he'll be relaxed and focused and use his skills and his prowess. But if the prize is a silver belt, he may become tense and hesitant. If the prize is a coveted gold trophy, he may shoot as if the weight of the world and the troubles of the world are on his shoulders. In all three cases, the archer's skills remain the same, but in the second and third case, it magnifies the importance of the material rewards and loses sight of the true nature. So whoever puts too much attention on what is outside gets clumsy on the inside. Now, what does that mean? When you put too much attention on getting the appointment for you, like old school selling, is I got to close hard, I got to close fast. The only thing I want is to get them in for an appointment. Now, I believe that converting leads to appointments is essential. It's the absolute critical piece in your business. But if you put too much weight on only what you want, all of your energies, I just got a closer point, would Monday be good or would Tuesday be better, you're focusing on the prize. And I promise you, you will miss the opportunity because you're not delivering enough value to a person that they would say, I want to come and be with you. You shouldn't have to close. You should be able to say, people have to say, I really, you know, based on the short time that we've been on the phone together or the email exchange that we've had, I want to meet with you. I know you know something that I don't know. I know you're going to show it to me. I feel safe already. It's real convenient, and I know that you're all about me. So with that mindset, be real conscious as you go into a dialogue with a client. So that's the first thing, is get that mindset. Now, the second thing is learning how to combine your magic words with some technology. See if you can start to get that mindset. The mindset being that you really want to learn how to convert, you know, a person when they receive anything from you, if it's an email, if it's a voicemail, if it's a text message, whatever technology you choose to use, when they receive it, it's pulling them or inviting them more into your world. So I'm going to encourage for all of our members, you're going to find over at the My Buy Referral Only message board, I'm going to encourage you to take a look at Rich Iacovetis. I actually posted this, and if you're near a computer, and you can go over to Facebook. I actually posted this up on Facebook this morning. I'm pretty sure it's loaded up by now. I'll take a look here and see if it's up. If it's not, it'll be loaded a little later today. There it is. If you go over to Facebook, and if you actually go over to my account, look me up, Joseph Stumpf, over at Facebook. I uploaded a video there this morning, and it's got a picture of Rich Iacovetis in there, and I would love you to watch that today. And it's an example of how I would encourage you that when you're in dialogue with a person, how to send out an email to them. So, for example, in this particular email that I'm sending out, it says, the headline says, in the subject area, it says, who did you talk to on January 14th, 2009 at 10:30 a.m.? Now, the subject line is always what gets the email open. And then when you open up the email, it says, like me, I know you're would like to know a little bit about the person you talked to today on the telephone. And I say, click here, and you can find out a little bit more about me. And what I did is I embedded a sample email of Rich Iacovetis' email there, where it comes up and Rich does a beautiful job using a lot of the magic words and a lot of the language patterns that we've been teaching at the Magic Words workshops and throughout all of the decks of cards, the green, the red, the black decks of cards. If you listen to it, you can listen to it a couple times, you can hear how subtle and how powerful his message is. And what he's doing is he's putting a person to an email. He's not waiting for the person to come to his office. He's going to their home to meet. convenient. Hey, Rich is willing to come to me. And I know that when you watch that video with Rich, you'll get this experience of, God, this is a real guy. You know, I can see him. I got a sense of where he's sitting, his office. He's offering me something. And it's a very powerful way to start to communicate with people when you're just beginning a relationship, where you're going to give them some information. You're going to help them create some type of interpretation. You're going to ask them some really profound, insightful questions. You're going to make a recommendation and inspire them. So this email is the beginning of that process. You also notice in the email, when you look at this, you'll see on the bottom of the email, I suggested that you put a recommendation where they become your friend at Facebook. Well, one of the things that I know is that if people can do more investigation about you anonymously and not self-promotion. The beautiful thing about social networks is it's not self-promotion. It's actually, I'm inviting you into my life. I'm inviting you behind the scenes into my world. And what social networking does is it causes people to be completely transparent and completely vulnerable and completely public. And when you invite people into that world with you, you're going to build more confidence in others. You're going to get more of an inside look or a behind-the-scenes pass into your life. And it's a great place where people are really check you out. So I'm going to encourage you that you put in your emails, become my friend at Facebook. And then you'll also notice in that email it says on the bottom, follow me on Twitter. And I would really encourage all of you to set up a Twitter account, and we'll talk more about that in the coming months. But I imagine for many of you, you're going to be out looking at properties, and you're going to see a great property. And for you to be able to see, I just walked out of a two-bedroom home. It's got a bath and a half, and this thing is on the market for 50% off of what it sold last year. Here, you know, and you can put that, type that right into your Twitter. And if you have all of your prospects following you on Twitter, you're constantly communicating to them things that may have been of importance to them. So we'll get more into that a little later on. But what I want you to see is that after I've talked to you on the telephone and I have not set up an appointment with you, that's what that really means, that, you know, I haven't gotten enough, you know, to give you my attention, my time, energy, and my responsibility. You haven't given me enough to do that. I don't feel safe right now. You haven't shown me enough. I don't think you know something that no. And now your work begins. You're now starting to work with that person to communicate with them, and technology allows you to do that in a mass way, but also in a very personal way. Now, all different types of leads come from different sources. Now, when you're working with somebody who is referred and recommended to you, it's so much different than if you're working from somebody who's coming from the Finding Buyers program or from the Getting Listings program. And if you're working with the Finding Buyers program, we have set up the whole system for you at My Buyer Referral Only. All you have is create the the technology, all the technology is all included in there. All you're doing is going to be following up with people with the newsletters. So you have in the Finding Buyers newsletter, you have a whole series of cover letters and newsletters to follow up with people. See, the goal is, the bigger picture that we have in mind here for you when you're converting leads to appointments, is enough prospects, people who have raised their hand and said, hey, you know what, I'm interested. I want to, and then having an automated system where you can follow up with people. And the automated system is the series of newsletters that we've created. So we've got newsletters inside the Finding Buyers program. We've got 12 newsletters in the Art of Getting and Selling Your Listings. So if you're working with a selling prospect, you have all of your selling newsletters. And if you're working with a buying prospect, you have all of your buyer prospects. The beauty of those two systems is they're lead conversion systems. And what I want to do is just have that experience as a prospect with you, that you're going to demonstrate consistency, your predictability, and your reliability while I'm going through the process of becoming your client, converting from a lead to an appointment. And that's very, you have all of that technology woven together. So here's the key, is when you're calling people back, and so I'm going to shift a gear here. So when you're calling people responded to any or request, your email requests, your ugly yellow signs, and they've left a free recorded voicemail message, and there's pretty much three, you know, what I would say are the three biggest stalls or objections you're going to get. First, when you're in dialogue with people, you're asking them really good questions, you know, really questions that give you enough information that allow you to ask another question. And that's what my description of a good question is. A good question is a question that when a person asks it, it gives you enough information so you can ask an even better question. And when you think of that context, you'll see the questions up here on the My Buyer for Only website. You'll see where I have a list of good questions. Like a good question is what's important about buying a home to you? And they give you an answer. They say, you know, we really want a really larger, more spacious backyard. And then you can go down and look in the bottom portion says great buyer seller questions. So when somebody says we really want a larger, more spacious backyard, a great question to follow up with is, well, what happens when you imagine having a bigger, more spacious yard? See, the question, what happens when you imagine blank, is a much bigger question than how large of a backyard do you want, or, you know, which is kind of information gathering, but it's not really investigation. So what I would encourage all of you to do is to look at the questions for buyers, the good questions for sellers, and when anybody answers a good question, take whatever information they've given you and then ask a great question about the information that they've just given you from a good question. And what that is truly investigation. I have a mindset that says that the more I can describe what you want, the more you assume that I can get it for you. See, if I can describe better then you could describe for yourself what you want, the more you assume I can get it for you. So if I can really take the time to investigate, you know, by asking really good questions followed with great questions, get enough information from you that I can give interpretation, I can make strong recommendations, and you'll be inspired by the fact that I can articulate better what you want than what you could explain that you want. And I'll demonstrate this for you in a couple of role plays in just a couple minutes. But I want you to look at those good buyer questions, those good seller questions, and start to ask yourself, okay, when I get some great information or good information, how can I use those questions to ask even better questions? And that is the whole art of, you know, conversation. It's what Jamie Smart would call is that hypnotic conversation, that the longer we're in the conversation, the deeper you get into my life, and the more that I know you know what I want, the more I assume that you can get it for me. So your responsibility, call this, is to really get the mindset, that complete mindset that I've got to give enough value to people for them to give me their attention, time, energy, and responsibility. And I really have to understand that that comes through the information, my interpretation, my thorough investigation, my recommendations, and my inspiration. Now, once I've what I'll do is I'll meet with you because I know you know something that I don't know. And I also know that you're going to show it to me, and I'm going to be safe, and you're going to do it in a convenient way. Now, I may have some stalls and some objections. I may say to you, hey, well, could you just do that? Or, you know, I'm just looking right now, or I don't really have time to meet with you right now. And when people give you those type of stalls, realizes they haven't received enough value yet. So we got to be really conscious of what their value, what for value. And if you look in your red deck, the remove resistance cards, you'll find that the 10 of hearts, I'm sorry, the Ten of Clubs, that's a club, the King of Diamonds, and the Jack of Clubs. Those are the three most important cards you want to have in front of you when you are about to call a client and or a prospect, and what you're going to ask them to come in for an appointment. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is to keep those cards in front of you and know at any time you're going to have access to those dialogues. And those are the most common, most frequently given objections there. So I'm going to stop giving you information right now. What I want to ask you to do is I want you just to reflect. If you've been over to the Facebook account, it's quite interesting. I've had about 50 requests for friends in the last 3 minutes, so I know there's a bunch of you that are over there right now. And if you're over at the Facebook account, you can go ahead and watch that video and of Rich Acevedo there, and he's on the front page there, and you can see how I've used YouTube. I love using YouTube as a way to a holding place where you can hold all of your videos. So you'll see the YouTube video that I posted there inside that posting there, and I would use that when, you know, I've emailed 3 or 4 times to a prospect and they still have not converted to an appointment. So why don't we do this? If you have a question, if you have a thought, if you want to expand on anything I've shared with you so far, would you hit *1 on your keypad, and I'll turn this from a conversation into a dialogue into a conversation. So I got some calls coming in right here, so I'm going to start asking the questions here. First question here.
Hi, this is Andrea Harlan from Thousand Oaks, California.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Joe. I have a question for you. I have a situation where someone was referred to me, and they also used to be is a friend as well, and referred by another friend, and they've been a little bit resistant in getting to meet with me for the initial consultation. They kind of, you know, all excited about these homes, but they've been kind of, they know that they need to come in for initial consultation, but been kind of resistant. So we've been just playing this, I don't know. I don't know what to call it. It's like we're somewhere in limbo right now, and I just want to get a little bit of advice from you on how I could use these tools.
Have you met them yet, Andrea?
I have not met with them. I keep let them know, look, you know, we need to do an initial consultation before looking at the homes.
Okay, good. No, and that just finally. So I'm curious. So you get that they're not giving you their time, their energy, their attention. They're not giving that to you.
Right. Right, and their kids is like an excuse, like, oh, can you just come meet us at the park because we don't have a babysitter? And I'm like, okay, I don't know.
Would you not do that?
To
refer to, why would you not do something like that?
Just because I'm wondering if they'll, I'm just worried that they would think of less value of me if I'm going to meet them in a random place. Doesn't seem so professional.
Well, I mean, if there's context set for that, if you were to say to somebody, here's what my normal procedure is, my normal process is that you come into the office and we sit down and we do X, Y, and Z, and it takes about 40 minutes to do that. And what I hear you say is that you're not ready to do that yet. That's what they're saying. They're saying that we're not ready to move to that place with you yet. They're asking, when somebody says, come to the park and meet me, a different level with you right now. And they're referred to you, right?
Yeah, and I know him before, and I guess I have a little bit of it. I had met when he was looking at selling his home before, he and his former wife. He, you know, we had an initial consultation set up, and then last minute he's like, you know, I can't do it, but, you know, can we meet at this restaurant? And I said, okay, and then it went bad, and he went and listed it with somebody else. So I feel like
there's more to the story here.
Yeah, I think he saw me as a friend, not as a professional. So I just feel like I need to have this
switch. There's more. I don't know how much more there is to the story here. There's more. We could go on and on.
No, yeah, I don't want to go too deep, Joe. But I just think I need to make that line. Like, he needs to see me as a professional, not Andrea, his friend. So that's why I didn't want to go to the park.
So, Andrea, I'll just give you this thought, and I'm going to move to the next question here.
All right.
I'd like you to make a list of 10 benefits when he comes to your office.
Okay.
The ten big things he gets. You know, and so what is the value for him to give you his time, his attention, and energy at your office?
Okay.
And I would love you to go over to my Facebook account and just look at the video that I posted that Rich put up there for
us.
And what I'd love you to do is learn how to put that on a video. Like you to say, and so I would love you to put, like, with a small little camera, a little flip camera, I'd love you to be able to say, "Hi, Bob. I know you've asked me to meet you at the park and come out for dinner, but there's 10 reasons I would like you to come to the office that really benefit you." And then what you need to really think of is what benefits him.
Okay.
And so if you really believe that, then you can firmly communicate that and state that to him. And that's all that's missing right now. You know?
Yeah. I think that's it.
And then email that over to me.
Okay.
And I would love to look at it, and I might be able to help you wordsmith that and put some magic words around it and make it dance a little better than what you might be able to do on your own.
Okay, and so I just send you an email, like become your Facebook friend, and then I can...
Yeah, you. And then just email it over to me through that account there.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, look forward to seeing you.
Hey, Joe. Larry Siebert calling.
Mr. Siebert.
How are you?
Good.
Hey, can you give me those deck, 10 of hearts, 10 of clubs, and the jack of diamonds? Was that it?
Yeah, we got the ten of clubs in the red deck. That's when somebody says, just email me the information, Larry, and you would say, you know, I appreciate that you trust me to give you such important information. And, you know, a typical real estate salesperson would probably just shoot it over to you in the email and then just move on. Now, as you may or may not know, choices that you make today will impact you for years to come. And you deserve more than an email, because you deserve at least 20 minutes to sit down with me or a trusted advisor who will ask you some really critical questions, listen vigilantly to your answers, and then craft a strategy for you. You deserve my full attention. Hey, let's go ahead and look at our schedules and set up a 20-minute consultation, shall we? Isn't that nice, Larry?
Got it.
That's the 10 of clubs. And then the king of diamonds is I'm just looking. And then the jack of clubs is I don't have time to meet with you. Now, here's a great dialogue. When somebody says, I don't have time to meet with you, you say, you know, I understand that you believe that you're too busy to meet with me because I'm busy also. But maybe you're saying that because you're not sure if I can provide you with enough value during our appointment to warrant time from your busy schedule.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to invest time with me unless I knew that I could ask you several questions that will help you clarify your core goals. You can make a better decision. So why don't we get together for about 20 minutes, and I promise you, you'll get enormous value from the questions that I'll ask you. See, and what I know is that when people stall, what they're saying is there's not enough value. If I knew there was $20,000 sitting there for me, I'll make time. I'll figure out how to get over there. You know, if I don't have that sense, I'll meet you at the park with the kids. Does that help you a bit?
Very good.
How are you?
We just got back from Africa.
Excellent. Yeah. For all the people listening, this is Larry Siebert from up in Hartford. And Larry's built a fabulous business here at Byrofolia over the last, 10 years, Larry? 12 years?
Almost 15.
15 years. Oh, my gosh. Very good. Well, thanks for checking in with us.
Thank you, Joel.
Have a great day. Next caller.
Hi, Joe. It's Sandy Noble calling from Vancouver, Canada.
Hi, Sandy. You know Larry?
I don't.
Okay. He's over in Abbotsford, not too far from you.
Okay. I have two telephone referrals to me from friends, and I'm going to call. I have called and left a message for both of them, and neither one has returned the call. The call was yesterday. Now what I know is they are going, one is a remortgage, and one is going to be moving to Toronto and looking for a new mortgage. They both deal with the Royal Bank in Canada, and Royal Bank does not have a broker side to it, and often will undercut our rates that I can get as a broker. And I'm a platinum broker, so I have access to the very best rates. How do I work with that?
Well, you've already made a decision that it's a rate conversation. I mean, is that how did you arrive at
it? It tends to go there, yes.
Okay, so you tend to go there. It doesn't. It says you tend to go there, right?
Okay, that's probably right. Yes.
Because it is not have a direction.
So the conversation goes that way. I mean, client's first response is, so what kind of rate will I get?
Well, and what is your response to that? Let's just see if we can work on a little language to that. So what do you say now? What is the kind of rate that I can get? What do you say?
Well, I usually ask what kind of product they're looking for, what kind of mortgage they're looking for, and then I will quote my best rates that I have.
Okay, and so so that's, I would say that that's a possible path, and does that give, see, you're giving them a recommendation before any investigation.
Okay.
And so, and when you give a rate, you're giving me your advice. And if you're giving me advice before you've done any investigation, I'm always going to be wary of your advice. Okay. I'm always going to go shop your advice. I'm going to go see who else will give me advice because you haven't done any investigation. So I'm going to suggest that over the phone, when somebody's referred to you and says, hey, what's your rate? You'd say, well, you know, I can talk to you about rate, but let me just share with you what I did with your friend Nancy when I worked with her, and this is why she recommended me to you, is that I took a little bit of time and I asked her some really good questions, and then once she answered the questions, I was able to suggest to her what would be the best program for her and what was important to her. Could I ask you a couple questions before I just spout out a rate, give you a recommendation before I actually find out what would be best for you?
Okay, so look for their 5, 6, and 7.
Well, because you can't get – so the only reason being, Sandy, is that I want to give you the rate wrapped inside your 5, 6, and 7.
Right.
So I want to be able to say to a prospect, you know, so based on you guys getting into a new school district by the 15th of the month and making sure that the kid settles in and that you're in your new home, I'm going to suggest that you go with this 5-year ARM, and it's going to adjust. And then whatever your recommendation is, even if the rate would have been the same one that you would have given before you knew their 5, 6, and 7, okay, it doesn't matter. It's how you deliver the recommendation makes them trust you. Are you following me on this?
I totally follow you. So it's just practicing with the language.
Yeah, it's just getting to the place where you say, nobody gets my recommendation unless I wrap it inside what's important to them, because that's the true interpretation. Everybody can give a rate, but nobody can give a rate wrapped inside what's important to me.
Where do I go on the website to find that?
Over to Joe on the Go.
Joe on
the Go. Going to the dashboard and right smack in the dab middle there, it says Joe on the Go. Click on that icon, and then there's a course called How to Master the Conversation Skill 5, 6, and 7.
Okay.
There's 4 trainings there. If you listen to those 4 trainings there, when you're done with that, you'll get real clear on this concept.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great day.
I will. Thanks. You too.
Next call, or here we go. Hello.
Hi, Joe. It's Susan Rutherford, and I got my question answered, so I don't need to ask it. I'm just listening now.
Okay, Susan. Hey, well, how are you?
Good. I'm good.
Good. Will you wait to get over to Facebook and watch that video?
Well, I'm trying to do it right now. I'm on Facebook, and I'm not quite sure how to find it.
Are you a Facebook participant there?
Yep. Well, I am. I set it up personally, and then I thought, you know what? based on what you just said, I should probably set it up professionally too. So I did that real quick. How do I find the video now? I'm in Facebook right now.
Then just type in Joe Stump. Are you one of my friends yet?
No, but I want to be.
Then if you send me over, I'll let you in as my friend here. And then as soon as I let you in as my friend, you'll have access to that page. And I'll have to do that after the call because I got about 100 people calling me in here right now.
Okay.
But then watch that video. But let me give you just a thought on that. For everyone listening, when you're setting up your Facebook account, have a purpose. You know, going into it, know who you want the world to see. And I'm watching some people, they're just crossing the line. They're going, it's like if their clients saw or people saw them in that light and the language that they use and the way that they express themselves, it's going to be more of a deterrent. So if I believe that Facebook is going to be a fabulous way where people can go in behind the scenes and find out about your family and your occupation, what you do relationally, what dreams and your aspirations are. I think it's a great place to share all of that there. So you can go personal, but it's got to go personal knowing that it's in the context of professional people are looking at it.
Right. Well, I mean, when I say personal, I had my personal home email address on there, and I really want to have my business and my business one on there, and then, have personal things about me. I'll definitely do that, but so that people could contact me at the company.
Yes.
Like clients, if they wanted to go in and see about me, although I didn't see how it didn't ask very much. It just asked what high school I went to and, I'll have to get into it more. And look, there you are. Okay. So just go add as a friend.
Yeah.
Under you. Okay.
There, I got you there. There you go.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay,
have
thank
a great
you.
Day.
You too.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. It's Lisa Walters.
Lisa.
I got a quick question about converting a lead. I have an email lead, actually, by a potential client. And she said they are going to be putting their home on the market in the next 30 days. And she would love me to provide a competitive market analysis. And she wasn't sure whether her home needed to be fixed up or not. So I emailed her back, and I tried to give her something of value. And I said I'd be happy to meet with her and do that. And also I would give her a report from our realtor magazine called Cost versus Value. And then I used your verbiage and said, I gave a copy to the Hagopians on Country Lane when I was selling their North Tustin home. And they said it was very helpful in making decisions. So I just went into a little bit more, just about four small paragraphs. And then I said, do you have any time available Friday or Monday? And have not heard anything back from her. So I have two questions. The first is, on her first email, when she emailed me back, there's a phone number on it, not for me to call, but it's just an email signature. So I want to know, would you continue to email back, or would you just use that and call her direct? And the second question is, what would you say?
So what was the agreement when the call was over last time? How did you guys end it?
I ended with the email that just said, do you have any time available Friday or Monday? And I have not heard back from her.
So you have not talked to her?
No, I've never talked to her. The email.
This was all done over the email. That's what you're
right.
saying?
Right, and the phone number was in her email signature. It wasn't given to me like, yes, call me, da-da-da-da,
You know, what I would do real quick is I would take that phone number, and just in the subject line, just what's her first name?
Barbara.
Put up there, Barbara, is it okay if I call you at this number?
Hey, great.
And send it over. That's it. And so what you're looking for is a quick reply from her, okay, or if she doesn't reply, that something else going on.
Uh-huh.
So and you need to deal with it at that level. And then if she doesn't reply, you can reply, maybe you didn't get this email, but is this an okay number to call you at? If you don't get a third response, then you kind of maybe call back your referring party and just say, hey, this is what's happened. Is there a way that you can help facilitate this introduction?
Okay, it's not a referral. It is a lead generation. It's from a lead generation.
Oh, I thought you said that the people down the street had gotten the same book or something like that.
Oh, no, I was just using a person's name and saying that I was going to give her something of value that I gave to somebody else, and they had said it was very helpful.
Yeah, I would just do that, Lise, right now, is just send over that quick email in the subject line and say, is it okay if I call you this number? And that should shake the tree a little bit.
Okay. All right. And then I heard what you said, no response, send it again.
No response, do it again. And then put her into that, your system, you know, where you're going to, but really what you have now, if no response, you don't have a five-star prospect. You have somebody who's not willing to talk to you.
Right.
You know, so if you want to put them into your follow-up program where you follow up with your newsletter or you want to do something like that, that's okay. But she stopped moving towards you, you know. It's like,
right. But what, that's brilliant because I felt uncomfortable calling her, but putting an email and putting that like that, that's great. I love that. I'm very comfortable with that. Thank you.
Real simple, real simple.
Yeah, thanks much.
See you.
See you now.
Morning.
Hi, I'm Derek Bernier calling from South Florida.
Derek.
And, my question is, I'm a brand new member with you guys, actually, and so far everything's been great. I'm really glad to be a part of it. And I just recently got done doing my first Connect letter, and one of them was to my main sushi chef that I usually always go see. And actually, upon seeing him after I sent that out, he was asking me telling me he was interested in, you know, looking for a new condo. So I said, that's great, you know. I'd have my lender get in touch with him and, get him pre-approved and we can start looking at some stuff. And he said, no problem. So when she tried contacting him a couple times, then he was putting up, like, resistance a little bit, saying he's busy, he'll call her back. And then she called back again, and it was the same old thing. So she figured she'll just wait for him to call him now. But I was just wondering, the next time I see him, how would you recommend I approach him?
Well, what's the truth?
What's the truth?
What's the truth?
The truth is that I want to get him pre-approved so we can start looking for a home, for a new place for him.
Wait, the truth is you can't make any recommendations right now to him.
Okay.
Because you don't know him, right?
Well, not as, I mean, just as, you know, I know him just for the past couple of years as, you know, being my sushi chef.
you have a vendor relationship, but you don't know his 5, 6, and 7. You know what
no.
I mean by that?
Right.
Yeah, so you can't make a recommendation to him. So all you're asking for right now is you'd like to have 30, 40 minutes with him. That's all. You don't even know if you can help him.
Okay.
You know, it's like to take the approach that it's not like I want to get you pre-approved. I don't even know if you should be pre-approved. I don't even know, you know. In about 35 or 40 minutes, I probably could sit down and ask you 6 or 7 questions that most real estate agents or most lenders would never have the courage to ask you. I'll take that information that I get from you, and I'll give you a really good interpretation and give you a great recommendation of what would be best for you. And it may be to get a loan, it may not be to get a loan. I don't know, but would you give me 35 minutes? You got to take this thing in small chunks. You can't try to think about getting him a loan until he gives you his heart, you know, like he opens up to you.
Okay.
And so when will you see him next? Or how
well, I go there a good, you know, 1 to 3 times a week.
Okay, good. So if you were, do you have his phone number?
Yeah, sure.
You know, so what about a quick call over to him right when we hang up? And just say, you know, I've been thinking about you, and, you know, I've got a process that I would love to sit down with you. It takes about 35 minutes, and people who I've done it with in the past have told me it was super valuable. And when we're done, it will really give you an opportunity to know what you should do next. What would be, what's the best thing to do next? Don't talk about a loan.
Okay.
It scares him right now, you know?
All right.
He needs to know his situation before you give a recommendation.
Okay.
And that's where most
5, 6, and 7. Okay.
Most people get turned off at an unconscious level when you start to tell me what you can do for me, and you don't even know who I am. You don't even know my sister's really sick right now, and that, and it's causing me to fly back and forth to Denver every once in a while, and my job is a little bit on the line here at the sushi store. There's a new guy that came in. He's cutting better fish than I ever have. I don't know what's going on. You're telling me to get a loan.
Okay.
Are you following me on this?
Yeah, absolutely.
So just get that thought. Information, interpretation, investigation, recommendation, inspiration. And right now, you're giving him information. You're actually not even there. You're telling him, you're giving him a recommendation without any of the other stuff ahead of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Go to Joe on the Go and listen to The Art of the 5, 6, and 7. You'll get really skilled at this. You're going to be so good at this that this is just going to be real natural for you.
Okay, I definitely will. And I have listened to that, but I'll definitely listen to it again so it's really ingrained into my brain. And I'll call him, right after I listen to that, after I get off the phone.
Okay, talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Joe, this is Josh Halis in League City, Texas.
Hey, Josh.
How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. I wanted to elaborate, if it's okay with you, I wanted to elaborate on a previous question. I believe it was one of the first ones where she was asking, you were asking her what her fears would be if she can't get someone to come meet her at the office. For example,
yeah.
If they've been wanting to meet her at the park or they're really busy, that type of resistance. And I really related to that, but I wanted to add to it, one of my fears in that situation would be if you're meeting somebody outside of our environment in the office, you're putting them in control is the way I feel, and you're not going to have their full attention. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be playing with the kids. You just can't really get them to focus so that you can give them your attention, and that, you know, it's just a distracted environment outside of the office.
I'm with you 100% on that, Josh. The story was Adrienne. She was, as that story was unfolding, like, she's already worked with this guy in the past, and you know, I would change my advice as she more got to it. But here's my thought, Josh, on showing homes. When you're working with unreferred people, you know, people are responding to your internet stuff and your direct mail, and they have a lot of options. You know, they have a lot of different choices. And you have not really built any trust at all. And, you know, it's like I have this thought. It's almost, it goes like this. The first three are on the house. Meaning the first three homes I'm going to show you are on me. After that, you have to follow my path. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, do.
Yeah, so it's because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a little bit up front without any conditions. We're just going to see if we even can trust each other. I don't even know if I can trust you. You don't know if you can trust me. But after three showings, I'm pretty sure we're going to have a good sense of each other. And at the end of three showings, then what I'd like to do is more formalize our relationship with a buyer-broker agreement. And then I'd like to sit down with you and really find out what's really important to you. Now, the worst case scenario would be is you find them, they love the house, one of the first three houses that they look at, but in today's world, that's not what's really happening. Mm-hmm. Are you following me, Josh?
Yes, sir, I sure am, yeah.
Yeah, I know that when you're working with unreferred people, you want to try and grab control, but we don't, that's the beauty of a referred client, is they, They'll come in for the appointment because that's what their friend probably did. The unreferred, they don't have a point of reference.
Mm-hmm. So if they give you that much resistance, I mean, and if they just keep fighting you and fighting you, you can make a choice and you can just kind of throw your hands up and say, you know what, that's fine. I'll show you a few homes if that's what you wish, if that's what you feel is the most important thing to do right now, and then just go into the dialogue that you said. So use that as maybe a last resort to get in touch with them. to get
Beautiful. And Josh, I don't know if it's like you've lost. It's like, oh, okay, you guys, it sounds like you want me to give you the first three on the house.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I have a rule. You can, you know, I got a little rule that it sounds like you have a rule that says you want to meet at the house. And I've got a rule that says I'll show you three.
Okay.
And then at the end of three, we make a decision we want to work together.
Okay.
Want to play that game? I'd love to play with you.
Perfect.
Perfect. You know, and that's just a reframe. It's just kind of reframing. Like, you know, Josh, we really don't want to come to the office, or we just want to look at the inside of this house. Well, what typically we do is I love to sit down with a client, and it takes about 40 minutes, ask them some pretty thoughtful questions, listen carefully to their answers, then really craft kind of a strategy of what's the best way to go about buying a home. Sounds to me like you're not ready to do that. Is that what I'm hearing? Yeah, that's right. We just want to see the home. Well, in that case, what I do is I give you the first three on the house. And here's how that works is I'll organize to show you three different homes. And as we go from one home to the next, we'll start to build some trust. You know, we'll figure out if you like me, if I figure out if I like you. And at the end of three homes, what we do is we agree either we're going to sit down together and we're going to take a little more of a sophisticated approach to this, or you're going to choose to go to work with somebody else. You want to play that game?
Okay.
Yeah, and then you're in, and I think it just kind of gives them a chance to get what they want for a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clearly three homes. It's not a few; it's three.
And I needed to hear things like that because I'm a strong C type personality. I see things, you know, black and white. You know, if it doesn't go in order, I need to know that there's room for flexibility. You know, I just don't – I need to know where to draw the lines, you know. So I needed to hear that. And the other thing that I was having some trouble with, Joe, since you're the one who creates all of these things, your dialogues, those are words – that's how you speak. That's how you talk. It's who you are. What kind of advice could you give somebody like me who maybe struggles with some of it, you know, with – because I don't use some of the language that you use, but I know that a lot of it's important. I'm comfortable with some of them, and others I'm like, oh, there's just no way I could do that.
Yeah.
What kind of advice could you give me to maybe get past some of that fear with the dialogue training?
Do you think it's fear, Josh?
I think it's uncomfortableness, I guess, that I have, if that's even a word.
Yeah, I don't see it as fear. I see it more as different. It's like you said. Well, that's not the way I talk. You talk different than I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I have a different way that I use language patterns. My suggestion would be is if just go watch on the go to the dojo and watch the Two of Spades. It's the Dan Paris video around the word because.
Dan talks
about the 11 invisible words. And if you just start with that and get the concept of, you're going to learn how to weave these invisible words in, because once I understand that, and once I understand the importance of these words, these 11 words, what will happen is I'll start to influence people a little bit differently because I'm using these 11 words more frequently. So start simple. Start like at that context. And then over time, maybe even go over and visit Jamie Smart. Have you been over there yet? JamieSmart.com?
No, sir, I haven't.
Yeah, maybe take a look at that. And I'm just inviting you into my world of neurolinguistics.
Okay.
So right now you're outside my world, looking from an audience participant watching me play. I'm inviting you onto the stage right now to play with me when you signed up with Buy Referral Only, and it's different. You're used to being in the audience right now.
Right.
Now you're coming onto the stage. Now that we're on the stage right now, you're just out here for a little bit of time right now, and you got to take it in steps. And I promise you, in a couple years from now, you're going to be going, boy, I really love when, you know, a client gives me this resistance because that King of Diamonds just destroys them. You know, it's like,
and I know I will be. But, you know, my problem was is that should I, you know, suck it up and learn them verbatim, I mean, and say it no matter what, or should I tweak it to use some words that are more me?
Well, the way learning works is imitate exactly, memorize, imitate, completely assimilate, and then under pressure, you'll innovate. What will come out is your version of it, but it will come out in the right context. Okay. If you just try to figure out how to do it on your own without you really owning it, you'll never be able to play. You'll never have the full impact of the influencing skills that those dialogues offer you. So you got the magic words matrix, Josh?
Yes, sir, I sure do. It's awesome.
I would just start with that. You know, take one client that you have right now, find where they are on the matrix, and then take the cards out of the three decks that you have, the red, the black, and the green, for that client, and just work with those cards for a month wherever they're at right now.
Okay.
And forget all the other cards. Just name a client that you have right now.
Just right now? Aura Garcia.
Garcia, now where are they at in the process right now?
A very difficult process. They went to a lease-to-own company out of state. And the funds are – we've extended closing for 2 months. And the lending company is now saying that the funds aren't going to be ready for another 2 weeks. They keep extending the closing.
So they're in that stage called removing conditions right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so these are all conditions that are coming up right now. So I've got the matrix in front of me here, and so I'm going to turn to the buyer. Is there a buyer, the Garcias?
They're buyers. Mm-hmm.
Buyers. Okay, so the cards that you would have in your hands right now out of the red deck would be the Five of Diamonds, the Jack of Diamonds, the Ace of Clubs, the Five of Hearts, the Seven of Hearts. Out of the black deck, you'd be carrying the Five of Diamonds, the Eight of Diamonds, and the Nine of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
The Three of Clubs, the Five of Clubs, the Seven of Clubs. The Ace of Hearts, the Two of Hearts, and the Five of Hearts. And then out of the green deck, you got the Queen of Spades, the Eight, Nine, and Ten of Diamonds, the Nine, Jack, Queen, and King of Clubs, and the 7, 8, 10, and Jack of Hearts. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 27 cards. So I would take those 27 cards, put a rubber band around them, and call them Garcia's language.
Okay.
And concentrate just on those 27 right now. Now, that's out of, 152. You've narrowed it down to 27, which is, about, 5% of all that language there.
Okay.
And just concentrate on those cards right now. There's going to be another Garcia in the future.
Sure.
Next time it's going to be better than this time.
Yeah. This has been so helpful, Joe. I really, really appreciate your time.
There you go. Good, Josh. I'm glad you're on board.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Great day.
Hi, good morning, Joel. This is Chris Jimenez from Vancouver, Canada.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. And yourself?
Good, thank you.
Good. Joel, my question is, I have an acquaintance who I used to play poker with a couple of years back, and their situation was that him and his wife were separating, and so they were going to sell their condo at the time. So I did have an initial consultation with him, and the consultation went well, and I thought that he was comfortable. He would be comfortable in working with me, but I had a difficult time in terms of meeting with his wife. They were right in the throes of the divorce, and they didn't really want to be speaking to me at the same time. So I never had an opportunity to meet the wife. Now, what had happened was when I followed up with him, he said that because they were in the process of organizing the separation, they were going to hold off on selling the condo. But then about 4 months later, I'd realized that they had actually listed the condo with a discount brokerage. And that listing had expired. And then they had now relisted with another traditional realtor with a traditional commission rate. But that listing is about to expire in 3 weeks. And I was hoping to get some advice on how I could gently open up a conversation or a dialogue with him again to see if I could have an opportunity to reapply for the job.
So what's the truth? Let's put some truth serum on this. What's the truth?
I don't understand. What do you mean, what's the truth?
Well, because you're asking me to give you words, you know, to call these people up, and you only want it to be the truth.
Yes.
So, what is the truth? What you just told me is the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you were to call them up, what's their name?
It's Chris and Renata.
So if I was calling them, hey, Chris, Renata, this is Joe. You might remember we met about how long ago was it?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Well, actually, let me refresh, Joe. So, like as I'd mentioned, we typically play poker every couple of months together, and I'd hope for an opportunity to meet with him again at a poker game, to kind of open up the dialogue through that as a relaxed way to open up the dialogue again. But he has not been coming, and I'm almost getting the feeling that he's not coming because he's embarrassed to talk.
Is that true? You don't know. You're just making that up right
again.
Now.
Yes, you're right. That's a limiting belief.
So
right?
I mean, if you want to ask him if that's true, I don't know if you want to put your energy on that question or not. But, truth would be, hey, Ronaldo, we met a couple years ago playing poker, and then you and I got together and we talked about putting your home up for sale, and for some reason you guys decided not to. And then I've been watching what's been going on for the last couple years. I saw you put it on the market with a discount broker, and I was a little concerned, and I noticed it didn't sell. And then, again, it came up listed again with a more conventional broker, and now it's expired. And you know what? I'm just giving you a quick call right now because I'm wondering if I could interview for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
Just tell them the truth. You don't have to dance around anything.
I just have to get over my fear of rejection, I suppose.
So what would be – well, I don't know. Is it rejection? He's already rejected you.
Yeah. Let's put it that way.
So what's really the truth?
Mm-hmm.
You disappointed? Were you upset? Did he let you down? I mean, is there anything else attached to this, that something happened there?
That's right. I was disappointed. I was disappointed in that I thought that the meeting went well. I thought that I had a verbal agreement from him that we were going to push forward through. And, yeah, I mean, I felt a little bit.
Are you over it? Are you over it yet?
I'm hoping to get over it soon. and I'm hoping to get over it by listing their condo.
But could you get over it whether they do it or not?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
To
be truthful, Joe, what's most important to me is I thought that he was a fantastic guy. I'd like to reconnect with him again, even more importantly on a social level again, as opposed to just on a client realtor relationship.
Now you're getting closer to the truth. So for you to call me Ronaldo, a couple years ago when we got together, I thought we had a really great conversation. My interpretation was I thought we had some type of verbal agreement. Obviously, I was a little more excited than what was really going on, and I really enjoyed working with you. I really enjoyed talking with you. I really liked you as a friend. I thought we might have a good possibility for a long-term relationship. And then I don't know what happened. I'm just checking to see what happened. I kind of took it personal. It's all my stuff. It's not nothing that has to do with you, but I watched you guys put your home on the market with a discount broker, and it didn't work. And then I saw you relisted it with a more conventional broker, and I see that didn't work. And I'm thinking, boy, I really would love to reconnect with you, whether you do business with me or not. I really would like to reconnect at a personal level, and then maybe I can help you out professionally. Would you like to get together?
Perfect.
What is it? It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the more you tell the truth, the fear will disappear.
Perfect.
Yeah. The more you hold on to it and you don't speak to it, the more it causes you to procrastinate, the more it causes you to hesitate, the more it causes you to not take action. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sit down and map out the truth and call him up and tell it to him. But without making him the culprit. It's all your stuff.
That's right.
You know, so whatever was going on for him then was going on for him then. Let's see if we can make a shift right now. Maybe we can, maybe we can't. If not, hey, maybe we can play poker someday.
Absolutely.
At
the very least, reconnect on a friendship level. Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah. Don't be so attached.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joe. I really, really appreciate it.
Have a great day, young man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Got time for another question.
Hi, Joe. It's Kirsten Jabe out in Half Moon Bay, California.
How are you, Kirsten?
Doing well. Thank you. This is perfect timing because I'm in a do group to work on cultivating leads and getting a system in place.
Beautiful.
And so, yeah, I just wanted to get clear on your recommendation for sort of the system. You've got a phone call at the beginning when you have a new prospect, and then an email that you're sending to follow up, and then you've got the 12 newsletters. Am I clear so far, or what other, do you have other points?
You're talking about what path are you going to go down? Are you going to go finding buyers, getting listings, or the 30-day lead blitz? Which are you going to work on?
Well, I'm in month 7 of the finding, getting, and selling listings. And so, but in that, using that system, there's not really a phone call in the process. It's more you just start sending them things.
Exactly. Now, so how many do you have in your, what Dean calls is the incubator there?
I have 20.
You have 20. Okay, good. Now, how big of an area are you working? How many people are on your list?
Right now, 680.
Okay. I'm just curious. You may not know the answer to this. You may, but out of the 680 in the last 7 months, has any of them listed their home with another agent?
That's a good question.
Okay. So that might be a little investigation there. So just to see what opportunity was available, but the campaign didn't catch it. All right? I'm just curious. And now, so you have 20 people who responded out of 680. You're doing pretty well. You know, Charlton would say just keep on following the system. Just keep following it. And they're on the newsletter system. I hesitate to think of starting to cross that line of calling people who have not invited you over that line yet.
Right.
You know, do you have email addresses on these 20?
On about 75% of them.
Yeah. I think that in this world right now, what's going on right now in this world is there's a tremendous need for interpretation of what's happening in the economy right now. I'm curious, what could you offer them that all they had to do was say yes, either a click on an email, yeah, I'd like to receive that, yes, tell me more, yes, something that you could just send a quick email to them just to see if you could give them something, you know, that would just provide more value for them. Not try to get them closer to selling their house.
Okay.
Not anything like... not anything that's going to say, oh, God, here she comes. She's going to start to pursue us or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to, would you like me to include this in your next newsletter?
Okay.
And something like that on the email, and just the yes says yes, and that's all they had to do, and now you're starting to have some type of back and forth.
Right, rather than just including it in the newsletter, ask them first.
Yeah,
get some clients. Okay.
Right. You know what, and it's like you only have 20. You could look at each one individually. You look at 20 emails. It's not like a mass email to these 20 people, because this is how much is the average home up there for?
750-800.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking, $15,000-$20,000 commission right now per transaction. So you look at that email and you go, okay, this is the Johnsons. I know they're on Hiawatha Street. There's a home that's sold down the street on Boston. There's a virtual tour. Maybe they'd like to see the inside of that house. Mr. Johnson, would you like to see the inside of the Boston home? There's a virtual tour on it. If yes, just say yes. I'll send it to you. Think about each one of the people individually. What could you send them that as soon as they say yes, they know that you're thinking about them individually?
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, as opposed to treating them like a list.
Yeah, okay, because there are 20, so.
So treat them as 20 people who have said they've given you some attention. They've paid something already to you. They've already invested that with you. And so now you're sending them a newsletter. You're paying attention to them. You're going to continue to do that whether they respond to this email or not. If they don't respond, it doesn't mean anything. Don't put any attaching meaning to it. What they're saying by their silence is, no, I don't want what you just asked me if I wanted.
Right. Okay.
Right. That's okay, you know. But I'm just suggesting, if you look at it individually, each individual person, I'm sure there's something in their neighborhood where they're living that you could probably give them that they would go, oh, that would be, if I lived on Hiawatha Street, I would want to know what that home on Hiawatha just went up for sale. And if there was pictures of the inside, I've never seen the inside. Would you like to see, you know, I might be interested.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Something like that. Did that help you a little bit?
Yeah, that does help. I appreciate it.
Good.
Thanks for this session.
Okay, have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Joe.
That's all the time I have today, my friends, for questions. It's 11:54. We've got a call for a little more than 90 minutes or so, a little extra longer here. So, but I really would love you to go over to Facebook if you're still on the call with me. There's a couple hundred of you on the call. Go over to Facebook if you haven't already gone over. Make me one of your friends. And take a look at what I posted there as a video. And it's a good model for you to start to move in the direction. And we'll do a lot of training in February around the use of technology to convert leads to appointments. So in the meantime, I want to thank you for referring and introducing the people that you really care about to this community. Our company is by referral only, and we... I really love working with the people that you care about, the agents in your office, the people that are like-minded, people who are like you. So feel free to invite them over to take a look at the website. Feel free to have them call our office. And for all of our visitors who might be visiting in on this call or who is a prior member, welcome to come back into the community. We even welcome you back in at our platinum price point, which is a super value. So I encourage you to take a closer look at that. In the meantime, have a great day. Thanks, everybody.